Romans chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 1, says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's a description of those who are in Christ Jesus. They do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh." You see, the law is righteous and the law is holy. But the problem with the law is not the law. It's our ability to keep it. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That was me before God saved me. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." What is the word enmity? What does that mean? The word enmity means a mutual hatred. That means when you're lost and you walk according to your carnal mind hates God and God hates you and your carnal mind. Well, that's what the Scripture says. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. But if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." Okay, that's not optional. You don't get the choice of being saved and living in the flesh. Them two things don't go together. That's like oil and water. They separate. "If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit," that's all capital S, that's the person of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in the life of a believer, "through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, I hear a lot of people make this statement. They make this statement. They say, well, you know, I could tell that somebody was saved because their spirit bore witness with my spirit. That ain't what that said. That ain't what that said. Read that verse. The Spirit, that's the person of the Holy Ghost of God living inside the heart of a born-again believer. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, little s, that's your human spirit, that we are the children of God. In other words, the Holy Ghost of God living inside of me bears witness with my human spirit and lets me know I have the Comforter living on the inside of me. And if God will help me this morning, I want to talk to you on what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. Back in verse number 12, Romans 8:12 says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. This is really my text verse, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I may be a bit repetitive this morning, but bear with me, because that is how we learn. The Scripture says line upon line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And we say things often enough, and preachers hope that at some point, if I say something enough, one day you'll catch on. There'll be a light bulb that'll go off, and you'll have that epiphany moment that you'll say, oh, that's what he's been saying. The natural man, in his natural, fallen, and unregenerate state, has a severely limited mode of operation. The natural senses guide the natural reactions, the natural instincts, the natural behavior based on natural intellectual understanding that lead to natural conclusions that are based all on the natural resources that are available to the fallen human race. I'm just talking about you operating in what God gave you when you were born into this world, and the Spirit of God having nothing to do with it. And all of God's creation, apart from some perversion, work inside the confines of their own nature. You farmers, you horse folks, you cattle folks in the building this morning, you don't get mad at animals because they choose to follow their nature. I've studied this, and Sister Laura and I used to raise horses and trade horses, mostly lost a lot of money on horses. I've never bet on a horse race in my life, but I've lost a bunch of money on horses. But in my study, I found out something. Zebras look so much and are so much like a pony horse, and I like to see wildlife and animals. But did you know that between a horse and a zebra, there is a very clear distinction in their nature? Horses, naturally, normally, and I know there are exceptions to the rule, but we call that unnatural. But horses normally don't just try to kick your brains out. When a horse kicks, that's usually a stimulation. Something has caused them to do that. Something walks, another horse bites them, or walks up and smells of them, or somebody does something. And usually it's a reaction when they do that. But zebras are an entirely different animal, even though they seem so similar, that has such a different nature. That God instilled the nature in a horse, that a horse, according to the will of God, could be domesticated and used by man throughout the centuries. But zebras have never truly been domesticated. Do you know why? Because you say, well, I've seen somebody ride a zebra. Well, I'm telling you, that's not natural. That's not the normal. Why is that? Because God gave zebras the nature to survive in Africa, where they have crocodiles and where they have lions. And when a zebra kicks, it's not because of some outside stimulus that caused them to jump. When a zebra kicks, it's intentional. They mean to kill. And that's why they're not domesticated animals. You get this, don't you, Sister Kim? We're talking about the difference in nature. And if I want to know, there are two individual types of people seated in this building this morning. There are people that have the natural human nature, and that's what you live your life based on. And there are those that have the imparted nature of God through the indwelling Holy Ghost. And you know how I can tell them apart? They got two different natures, buddy. They got two different natures. You watch them old cows stand around eating the field half the day, and you see them laying over under a tree somewhere chewing their cud, you figure out real quick they got a different nature than them horses. Their nature's different. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you there's two natures involved in what's going on in the human race. Your natural nature and the nature of God. The natural senses and the Holy Ghost. And we must understand this morning that the natural man is totally and completely incapable of operating outside the paradigm and outside the boundaries of his predetermined own fallen nature. You can't operate outside your nature. And that's why, quite frankly, we really don't have a right to get mad at lost people for acting like lost people. Listen, you let your dog in the house and that's fine. They come dragging in a deer's hindquarters and dragging in the living room up on the couch and start chewing on. Don't get mad at them. It's their nature. It's what they do. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And how many times in my life have I ever talked to people about spiritual minded things, and they sit and nod their head and they say yes, but I realize in their heart, in their mind, they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. One way I can know and you can know without a doubt people are L-O-S-T, lost, is they are led by their flesh. They're led by their fallen human nature, intellectual knowledge, feelings, and emotions. But beyond that, they have nothing else to work with. As a matter of fact, most people in the Baptist church today have become completely emotion-driven. That's where the Pentecostal church has been for years. That's where the charismatic church is today. And that's where the Baptist church is heading. People led totally by their emotions. Romans 8:9 here says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. How do people who have the Spirit of God operate as opposed to people who operate in the flesh, who operate by their intellect, who operate by their feelings, who operate by their emotions? People who have the Spirit of God operate by a still small voice, peace, and a burden. They got a different nature. What it means to live, you note takers, to live in the Spirit. Romans 8:12 said, therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So what does it mean to live after the flesh? It means to carry on your life, your day-to-day activity, according to the dictates and according to the indulgences of your corrupt nature. And that's where I see the vast, overwhelming majority of humanity, and I don't care if they call themselves born-again Baptist or not, that's where most people live their life. And so often I hear some poor, pitiful, well-meaning religious sinner make this statement, well, I know I need to try to live better. Can I help you understand something? There's a reason we've got so many religious, hypocritical Pharisees in the world today. And that is because there are multitudes, Miss Lori, of miserable men that live under religious rigors and bondage of religion, demanding others to do so as well. And it's nothing more than man's attempt to subdue his own nature. And it is a cheap counterfeit for God's salvation. I'm fixing to say something And it's going to make a whole lot of folks across the world sit up on the edge of their seat. But I'm going to say it because it's true, and God the Holy Ghost says it's true. But high moral standards have damned more people than dope and alcohol ever will. Let me say that one more time. High moral standards has damned more people than dope ever will. Because a lot of folks got high moral standards because they don't have the Holy Ghost of God, and they have to do something to subdue their flesh. I met a young man in Wyoming that was pastoring a church. This young man asked me to come and take the church. And I had already been preaching. I pastored in Basin, Wyoming, and I preached there on Sunday mornings and Thursday nights. And I began to preach at this church in Lovell, Wyoming, on Sunday nights and Thursday nights. And this young man asked me to come take that church in Lovell, Wyoming. Brother C.L., out in the yard of that church, that young man told me this. He said, "Preacher Reeves," he said, "I'm not qualified to pastor a church." And he said, "I knew I wasn't qualified when they asked me to come here." And he said, "But the fact of the matter is that pastoring this church has helped me to try to stay on the straight and narrow." You need to think about what I just said. If I need the title of pastor of a Baptist church to help me be able to walk with God, I have a sincere, serious problem in my heart. I walk with Christ because I love Him. I fellowship with Him. He's the dearest friend I've ever had. And it has nothing to do with my position as a pastor in a Baptist church. But there are people today that put themselves in rigorous religious bondage because they're trying to subdue their flesh. But can I tell you, the walk with Christ is not about you trying to do better and trying to be better. The Word of God said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Can I help you with this? It ain't about you living better. It's about you dying better. It ain't about you living better. But have you ever been crucified with Christ? Have you ever reckoned yourself crucified with Christ? Have you ever felt the tug of the blessed Holy Ghost of God drawing you to the cross of Calvary, to the blessed Son of God, and you knelt and bowed before the darling Son of God, and you reckoned yourself crucified with Christ, and Christ raised you up and began to live His life through you? You see, if you've ever been born of the Spirit of God, it's not about you trying to live better. You just stay dead and let Christ live through you. We got a lot of messed up ideas in the world. Let me tell you about being led. We talked about living by the Spirit, but to be led by the Spirit. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You know, I know a lot of folks are just lost because they're not led by the Spirit of God. God help us. Are we so ignorant that we're going to believe some rigmarole from some bunch of easy believism that folks can come to an altar and pray a prayer and they're saved? Thank God they're saved. And then go out and live the rest of their life any way they want to live their life? That's a lie. Straight out of the pit. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Without divine leadership, a man cannot find his way to the straight and narrow, let alone walk in it if he could find it. The word lead means to guide, to conduct, to show the way, to direct, to draw, to induce, and to influence. Brother Danny, that's how a child of God lives. That's how a child of God is led by the Spirit of God. He's our guide. He guides our conduct. He shows us the way. He directs us. He draws us. He induces us. And He influences us in the way that we need to walk. I've told you over and over again, you're going to be influenced by the people you're around. I can tell. I can tell by how people act, who they're influenced by. In John 16:13, howbeit when He, that's Christ, talking about sending the Comforter, the Holy Ghost of God, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now listen to me a minute. I'm not going to keep you long this morning, but folks tell me they're saved. And my wife's got this saying. My wife's got this saying. She said, I can tell you I got purple hair. But just because you say you got purple hair don't make your hair purple. You can tell me you're saved. Tell me you're born again. You're redeemed. You're washed in the blood. You're heaven bound with a hammer down. A child of the living God. But the eternal, unbiased, unadulterated judicial scales of reality, and inside of their balance, all of these flowery words, saved, born again, child of God, all of those flowery euphemisms you could use for salvation, don't weigh doodly in comparison to how you live. They count for nothing compared to how you live. And in the unadulterated judicial scales of reality, where are you balancing out? The quintessential birthmark for a child of God is the indwelling Holy Ghost of God and His leadership in your life. My dear friend, Brother Keith, said to me when God was dealing with him. Brother Keith was an international drug smuggler. Keith was a wicked, wicked man. I forgot one time he told me how many millions of dollars he got out in his living room floor and strode around in the floor and wallowed around in them just for the fun. He was a big-time drug smuggler. But he had prayed a prayer at Pine Mountain Camp Meeting. Sammy Allen had signed his Bible, and Keith Scruggs was convinced he was saved by the grace of God. God began to deal with him, and God began to draw him in Holy Ghost conviction. And Keith told me he was in bed with a broken leg, and he said, God came to my bed, and God started dealing with me. And he said, as if it was God spoke to my heart. And Keith said, I ought to know that I was lost by the way I lived. You'd think that rational human beings sometimes ought to know you're lost by the way you live. Folks ought to know they're lost by the way they spend their time. Folks ought to know they're lost by the way they spend their energies. Folks ought to know they're lost by the way they spend their worship. Folks ought to know they're lost by the way they talk. The sad, sad reality is that there are multitudes in churches today that are led by their carnal nature, by feelings, by emotions, and they are totally incapable of operating outside of human reasoning. People say, Preacher, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Well, tell me why you spend so much time in the ditch. I ain't believing it. Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit in your life? Not just talk, not just talking smack, but what can you bring forth to back up your claims? Long time ago, Sister Laura and I were trying to buy a horse farm. We were actually trying to buy the Roaring River Ranch and Rodeo Company. And my daddy went with us because my daddy had money and I didn't. And that's real important when you're buying a rodeo company. They had a big auction sale, and there was a couple of hot shots showed up from out of town, and this one wealthy man from where we live came by, and he wound up buying the whole place. And I always thought he was a wealthy man. I was told that. I had a cousin that was his personal bodyguard, and he was the only man in town had a limousine. And he decided that day he liked me. He thought I was cowboy enough for him. And he said, I want you to go with me one day and help me buy some horses to go on this trail. He wasn't buying the bucking stock. He didn't want bucking horses. He said, I want riding horses. And I said, they're going to have a registered sale down here down the road in Iredell County. Let's go to that registered sale. So here I go with the rich man down to Iredell County, and we go looking at horses early in the morning. And I picked him out a couple of good saddle horses, and I said, I believe these are good horses. We got ready, and it's getting toward lunchtime, and here this man comes, Brother C.L., and he looks at me, and he said, now, I want them two horses. You know the ones I want. I want them horses. He said, when they come through, buy me them horses. Now, I ain't hardly got two nickels to rub together. And he's told me, he said, I'm hungry. I'm going to go get a hot dog. And he said, you buy me these horses. And I wanted to make for sure, Brother Danny, that I understand that this is a wealthy businessman, but I want to make sure he understands this is an auction. We got a bid on these horses. And I said, I got a bid on them. He said, I don't care about the bid. I want the horses, and I'm going to get a hot dog, and you buy me them horses. Miss Kim, he had the bucks to back it up. Now I'm asking you this morning, you tell me you're saved, born of the Spirit of God. Do you have what it takes to back up what you're saying? Because most folks don't. Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit in your life? I know what it is to live in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, but I know what it is to be liberated by the Spirit. Verse 1 said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The word condemnation, by definition, means the judicial act of declaring one guilty and dooming him to punishment. The state of being condemned, pronounced to be wrong, to be guilty, to be worthless, judged and sentenced to be punished. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, that's where you are. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is already condemned, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And mankind without Christ is degraded, separated, alienated from God. And without the finished work of the sweet Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary, there is no remedy. And Romans 8:15 said, for you've not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, under the old covenant, and speaking of the law, man was in bondage to the law. There was a law of sin and death that's working in the members of every human being. And because of the handwriting of the ordinance that's against us, because of the weakness of the flesh, man lived in a constant fear of judgment and fiery indignation. And there was no liberty in the law, because the law has no mercy. And if you die without Christ, you die under the law, with no mercy. And Romans 3 verse 20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, when that fella in that black and silver car pulls up behind you with that blue light on, he's not there to just give you some lessons about what the law is and what the speed limit is. He's just there to tell you you broke it. That's all the law does. The law's there just to show you you've sinned. It shows you what sin is. Can I give you this? I thought this touched my heart. I wrote it down. I'm giving it to you. We're going to the house. The law brings condemnation, but Jesus brings justification. The law brings alienation, and Christ brings regeneration. The law brings righteous indignation, but Jesus brought comfort and consolation. The law brings consternation, Consternation comes from the root word constrain. It means bondage, consternation. But Christ brought emancipation. That means freedom. The law brings accusation, but Christ brings accreditation. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And God gives me credit for what Christ already did. And the law brings intimidation, but Jesus brings hopeful anticipation. Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. There's a liberty in Christ. I've been set free from the law in Christ, the law that works death in my members, that works death in my flesh. Listen, without Christ, the law of God's only going to condemn you and damn you, because you can't keep it. But through Christ, there's liberty. And he said, whereby we've not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And I bless his sweet holy name for every time I was hurting. Miss Sheila, I was looking for answers in life, looking for answers to questions with a broken heart. And I bless his holy name that by adoption, every time that God Almighty allowed me as his little child to crawl up in his lap and say, Daddy, would you hold me? Daddy, would you just give me a hug and hold me a little bit? And God Almighty let me crawl up in his lap. And he put his arms around me and held me. And I may not have got the answers to all the questions that I had. But it really don't matter when God slips his arms around you and says, okay, youngin', it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You don't have to have the answer. Daddy's got this under control. There's a liberty in Christ. I don't have to go around wondering whether I'm going to get in or not get in. I done got in. I'm in. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The question this morning is simple. You're one or the other. You are living your life according to the dictates of your human flesh. And you may be moral as moral could be. My mother was, and my mama was lost as Hogan's goat, but she was a moral woman. You may have morality coming out your ears, but without the indwelling Holy Ghost of God, you're lost. You can never be led by the Spirit. And if you're a new convert, you've been saved 6 weeks or 6 months, you got a lot to learn about trying to be led by the Spirit. But you don't have to be saved long to know there's war going on inside. And if you'll just submit to God and die to yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ through his Spirit will live his life through you. And you don't have to be anything, just let him be. I get really put out with people trying to be something. I meet a lot of folks that try to be spiritual. I mean, they're trying their best to be spiritual. But Miss Sheila, if you just be yourself, let God be God and let the Holy Ghost live in you and Jesus live his life through you, you don't have to be anything. Just let God be God and he'll be God. I promise you, he'll be God. I promise he'll be God. Now, where are you at this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I love you.